Blog Talk Radio.
I think we're doing radio. The heck do I know? Nothing. And that's why I'm here. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House, Oldie Tiny Radio. I'm one of the guys that hangs around here, sweep the floors once in a while. Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by...
I wonder who we had to blame for these floors. Jay Bigley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And I am here with...
Well, the door squeaked. I guess I'm here. It is I, God the Ghoul. Blay, blay it to you all.
Hey, it wouldn't be an intro without a squeaky door, especially when you got some old-time radio.
I know.
And Dave has dug up some real treasure. Yep, some real treasure. Radio treasure, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Got all kinds of treasure here tonight. Of programs and pirate stuff and things like that.
Arrgh. That sounded dirty. What now?
No. Three classic shows, too. We got Suspense with The Treasure Chest of Don Jose.
Oh, yes.
With Raymond mm-hmm. Burr, I believe.
No.
And Ernest Borgnine.
No. You took the other guy. You took the J. Carroll Nash.
J. Carroll Nash will be in this version of Suspense, Treasure Chest of Don Jose. Yeah, and we got
portray.
No, but Dale is not wrong. The first one I did have scheduled did have Raymond Burr, and when
did have Raymond Burr
at some point. It is when Raymond Burr was doing Ironside. He went back and did that Suspense as well. But anyway, we have the one with J. Carroll Nash because we haven't had him a lot on our old-timey radio.
It's all coming back to me. Also, Escape the Fortune of Vargas and the Whistler. Treasure Hunt. Three classic shows, three classic tales.
But Escape was the Fortune of Vargas, right? If we're doing this correctly?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Where's my other one?
It's over there.
Okay, never mind.
It's Vargas.
Everywhere.
It's Lars Vargas.
Yes.
It's out in the desert in Nevada somewhere.
And J. Carroll Nash will be portraying Raymond Burr's brother in something about Don Jose.
Wait. I thought he was doing Ernest Borgnine's brother.
Well, Ernest Borgnine is going to be portraying J. Carroll Nash. J. Carroll Nash will be portraying Raymond Burr. So,
I got it.
In.
I got it. Okay.
All right. What is going on with this website here? Ah, there's the chat. Okay, well, there you go. And there's Fogbane.
Dogbane is here. We also have good old Bob.
Good old Bob. Bring that old bell.
Bring that Liberty
Market.
There you go.
And thousands more. Countless millions and billions more.
There are so many, many more.
Millions and billions.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday weekend.
It's a great notion. I just wish that people were not allowed to have the boom booms. Yeah, but other than that, yeah. Now, we're being great here in Florida with a hurricane, so maybe that won't happen. All the boom booms.
Yeah,
how many people are
boom
like
boom
really
boom boom. The boom boom fighting your gulati to death over there.
Yeah,
kitty, cooler with the boom boom. The boom boom fighting your gulati to death over there. So kitty, cooler with the boom boom. The boom boom fighting your gulati to death over there.
That's right.
All right.
And so there are not many people that are really urging on and wanting the hurricane to hit. I'm like, come on, bring it on, baby. Blay, blay. Let's hear it. Hurricane.
Let the cleansing begin. Oh.
That's right. Let all these...
You can't light an M80 in a hurricane.
I don't know. They're probably going to light it under their carport and burn themselves down. They don't care. They just want the boom booms. I don't know. Well, they've got mortar rounds. It's like, why does a regular normal citizen need a mortar round? You don't. But you know.
Uh-oh. I think I'm
unless
Dale
you're Dale.
Them.
Yeah, Dale's got some freaking mortar rounds. The heck's wrong with you, buddy? Blah blah.
You know, I'm a big dumb child. That's my problem. I'm a big dumb child.
Well, see, but you're out in nowhere, like it's all woods and crickets and stuff. So
it's a residential neighborhood. It's a residential.
Oh, is it? Is
oh,
it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm the neighbor that's gonna call somebody. I'm gonna be out in full garb. Pointing with a finger, arrest those criminals, Mr. Officer.
They'll probably be in their yards. I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. Out west, many places they've outlawed the fireworks just because it is so dry out there.
Yeah.
Smokey Bear's got enough trouble without fireworks.
Yes.
Well, see, in some years I don't do it or delay it because when it's really, really dry, it's very moist right now. Tee-hee.
Yeah. Oh, you said the moist word.
Yes, I did.
Moist.
I did.
Ooh.
I didn't even censor myself.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be good and moist here. Yeah. I mean, we have a full-blown hurricane headed right on top of us.
You have your Bozo alert going?
The Bozotron might get dusted off. I haven't really been in the mood, but you know, this I might get there. I might get there in the next 24 hours. I don't know.
At least get your Sharpie out.
Yeah.
You know these storms.
Yes.
These storms may just reveal some buried treasure.
Treasure?
You know, we got a whole lot of radio, as Dwight Fry would say.
Yeah, there you go. If we never had radio, we got it this week, I tell you. There you go.
Yeah, where shall we begin? It's the first of our three
tales. At the beginning. The oldest one we've got is Escape from 49.
Yes, that would be the oldest one. That's true.
Why not begin there? So it's called The Fortune of Vargas, and it's from?
September 21, 1949.
We offer you Escape, starring Victor Mature. Escape. Designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. You are camped in the dry mountains of Mexico. 100 yards from a treasure and buried gold, a beautiful girl is sitting across the fire with a gun. And somewhere out in the night, a horseman waits, like the girl, for you to make just one mistake. With Victor Mature as Toby Manning, we escape to Mexico with a story of conflict between love and the lust for gold, as Jeffrey Household told it in The Fortune of Vargas from his exciting novel, The Third Hour. It was dark and hot. The tropic night air was like warm steam. Night sounds drifted over from the dock. And from the native quarter of Panama City, I stood outside the hotel entrance and looked up at the lighted window on the third floor where Bately was waiting. After tonight, I hoped I'd never see his ugly face again. Somewhere, somehow, I had to make the break.
Okay, you can have your 3 weeks off. But you'll never do it. You haven't got the guts to break away.
Bately, it doesn't take guts to break away from a lousy job peddling mining machinery in Latin America.
Now, look, Toby. You could be South American manager in 10 years if you'd settle down and work at it. And stop beating your head against the wall.
Yeah. Maybe in 25 years I could retire and drop dead. Look, all I need is one right break and I'll take it from there. Any kind of a break.
You need more than a break, Toby. If one fell right in your lap, you'd play it just so far, and then you'd start doubting yourself or somebody else. And that's what would beat you.
Maybe so. But I've got the next 3 weeks.
Now, look. Every Every time I come to Panama, you say you're going to quit. Every time you tell me your big chance for real money is just around the corner. Why don't you get wise to yourself?
All right, lay off of me, will you, Bakley?
Report to me in New York on the 29th. I'll lay out your new schedule for you.
Don't count on it.
You'll be there, all right. I'll give you odds on it. I'll bet you don't do a thing except sit in the sun for the next 3 weeks.
Sit in the sun for 3 weeks. That would suit Bakley fine. To see me come crawling back again. Well, I didn't have a definite plan, but I knew I'd keep on the move. I was so fed up with Bakley, the job, mining machinery, I'd have jumped at anything. A guy in a mood like that can get into plenty of trouble. And 3 days later, I found it.
Gracias a Dios. Bienvenido, Señor Manning. Welcome back to Colón and to the Café Madrid.
Hi, Emmanuel. What's new?
New? Pues nada, amigo. The world grows older, but that is not new. Yes. Siéntese, amigo. Sit down, sit down.
Thanks. How's this? Say, place is empty.
Pues, si, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but never it is interesting, señor. In fact, I have said to myself, with a life of this kind, I am, how do you call it?
Fed up?
Hey, si, señor.
Yes, so am I. Look, why don't we team up and start a revolution somewhere?
Ay, caramba. I was in one once in Mexico. I was a capitán with General Lara. We were defeated.
Lara? Lara was ambushed somewhere around Torreon, wasn't he?
Si, amigo. We were outnumbered and he was killed. But I was more lucky. I walked 300 kilometers to the sea coast. Escape on a Dutch freight ship. Ay, caramba. I hope I will never do that again.
Yeah, I hope so, too. You know, there's not much profit in revolution. All right, let me have a roll, Manuel.
Si. Here you are, senor.
Thanks.
You are wrong about the revolution, Senor Manning. In Mexico, with General Lara, I made a fortune like a man never dreams about.
Enough to open this cafe? Look, I don't call that a fortune.
Senor Manning, in Mexico is $500,000 in gold, which belonged to me.
A half a million bucks? Yeah, sure.
It is true, amigo. I swear it. You would take a little chance for that much, perhaps, huh?
Perhaps.
Bueno. Then we are going to have talk tonight. I have already decided that before you come here this time.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Why do you think I ask questions from you always when you come here, huh?
You tell me.
Because I wish to find out if you are right man for the plan I have. I have decided you are, bueno.
Well, then, let's talk.
Tonight, in my casa.
Why not now?
You think there is no danger for one who knows the secret to a fortune? One must be careful.
A fortune? The big chance. Come on, Manuel. Let's get over to your casa and start dealing the cards.
So as I tell you, Senor Manning, everything works according to the plan which General Lara has made. The dynamite explodes and the train is wrecked. Our men break open the freight cars and load the pack horses and ride for the rendezvous at Torreon.
Everybody except you and General Lara, was that it?
Si, senor.
Yeah.
We are the only ones who know of the shipment of gold which is secretly on board. We find it, of course, load our horses and head north to the hills with the Federalists close behind us. At nightfall, we bury the gold and ride for Torreon. And 4 days later, General Lara is killed. And I escape, as I tell you.
And the gold is still there, $500,000 worth?
Si, senor. And I am the only man who knows where to find it. But if I enter Mexico, I will be executed within 24 hours. That is why I need a partner.
You've got one.
Only one thing, amigo. Do not think that there will be no danger. In Mexico are thousands of bandidos who will cut your throat for one-tenth as much money.
And on the other hand, a half a share in a fortune, $250,000. I'd shoot the works for a whole lot less than that.
Bueno. Then I will explain to you how to find the fortune.
What is it?
Cuidado. I hear somebody move outside the window. Vamos a ver.
Careful, Manuel. Manuel, away from that door. Here, let me get the lights off. There. Did you see who it was?
No. I think the shot came from the bushes across from the door.
Well, maybe we'd better take a look. Let's get to the door fast and step to the side. You got your gun?
Si, senor.
Okay. Let's go.
I do not hear anything, senor.
No. And it's as black as a hat. I'm going across, Manuel. Keep me covered.
Bueno.
Nobody there, amigo? No. Whoever it was must have run down the alley there as soon as they fired. Hey, you got any ideas?
Pues no, amigo.
Look, Manuel, if nobody but you and Laura knew about this gold, and Laura's dead, then how come the shot? And why have you been packing a gun?
Senor Manning, when there is a treasure so big as this, it is possible that even the coyotes can smell it. You still wish to go on?
Yeah, I still wish to go on. Three days later, on the train between Mexico City and Durango, I got a few of the answers, or thought I did. The coach had been empty most of the way, except for a couple of soldiers up ahead and a few Indians near the back. I was busy watching for some of the landmarks Varga had given me, so I didn't pay much attention to the Mexican girl who came in and sat down in the seat opposite. That is, not until she spoke.
Senor, you're wasting your time. It's 3 kilometers farther yet.
What?
The place where the train was wrecked. I said we're not there yet.
Honey, I don't think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're lying. You know well enough. And do not call me honey, senor. My name is Consuela.
Consuela? That's a pretty name, honey.
Do not play the fool with me. Manuel Vargas tell you where he hide the gold, so do not lie to me.
Oh. So it was you out there in the bushes with the gun that night. You know, you're a bum shot.
I do not try to hit somebody. I only shoot to have the chance to get away. You are a fool if you think because I am a woman, I am weak. I know all the tricks of men. They are perros, dogs, all of them. And I would not trust one that far.
Okay, honey, take it easy, take it easy.
I spent a long time to find Manuel in Colón. I watched him. But I learned nothing until you come. And now I am here for my one half share of the gold.
What do you mean? Your half?
General Lara was my father.
So that's your right. Well, you have to work that out with Varga. I don't know anything about
it. I am telling you now. You still think I'm a silly girl who can do nothing, huh? Look, senor.
All right, look. It's a nice gun. Now, you better put it back now. You see, honey, if you shoot me, you'd have no one to lead you to the gold. I know where it is. You don't.
Si, senor. So you lead me to it. And don't forget, I'm very good at shooting.
Okay, honey. For the time being, count yourself in.
Gracias. But have no mistake, senor. I shall take my share of this gold, even if I must kill you to get it. You understand?
Sure, I understand. We'll argue about that later.
And something else, senor.
Yes?
Do not call me honey.
Bueno, senor. Todo esto listo.
Yeah, I guess we're ready to pull out. How about it, Consuelo?
Si, senor. Whenever you wish.
Well, thanks a lot for your trouble, Senor Pascual. Say, you know, it looks like you've rented us 5 of the best horses in Durango.
Yes, nada. It's very bad country where you are gone, senor. Perhaps you would like to hire a guide. Huh?
No, thanks. I know that country pretty well.
But of course, seguro. And you are going to call at the mine, you and the senorita, and sell machinery, verdad?
Yeah, that's right.
I think you need a guide, senor. Some of the mines are very hard to find, especially the gold mines.
Gold mines? Oh, well, as far as I know, it's all lead and silver country up there.
Pues sí, mostly it is, but there is an old saying, gold is where you find it, verdad?
Vamonos, senor, we're wasting time. This man would be of no help to us.
How do you know? Ever seen him before?
Of course not. Why you ask?
Just wondered.
We've never seen him before. Vamonos, senor. Come on.
Okay, honey. Adios, senor. Vamonos.
Goodbye, my children. Avisa, Panchito. Have my horse ready to live at once. I'm going to take a little trip.
You are listening to Escape, starring Victor Mature. Tonight's a big night on CBS, for the welcome mat is out for two of radio's greatest shows, The Bing Crosby Show and The Return of Burns and Allen. In just a little while, over many of these same stations, Der Bingel will be on hand with his songs, his humor, and his guests, comedian Abe Burrows and Peggy Lee. Right after Bing's housewarming, George and Gracie will keep the celebration going with the first of their new series. So stay with us tonight for Bing Crosby and for Burns and Allen and their opening shows on CBS, where this fall you hear them all.
Tune in this fall for the show that you love best of all. Listen carefully, here's the address. It's CBS.
Yes, and we'll be back with more of CBS as this recording of Escape, The Fortune of Argus.
Yep, good old CBS. Suspense with CBS and Escape with CBS. I don't remember what Whistler was. I'll have to look that up.
Hmm. Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, 1951, so, yeah, okay.
I think that was the CBS Western. To start off as the Western Network, the California Network, or whatever that was. So that would have been CBS as well.
Let's see. What was KIRO? There's an old radio ad with Signal Gasoline from tonight, 7:30. KIRO. It's an old newspaper ad for the Whistler Radio Show. There's another one, KNX, with the same song.
Okay, those are in Seattle. Good old Seattle popping in there at KIRO.
It does say it's the coast. Most popular.
Signal Oil sponsored the CBS radio show, The Whistler. So there
CBS, yeah. They started off as a matter of fact, that most of their time they spent mostly on the on the California network. And they did have a version. They took the same script and redid it with a different sponsor, certainly, in good old Chicago. But outside of that, most of those shows stayed there. People got to know it through the movies and the TV show as much as anything else.
Yeah. Did the CBS eye ever creep you out as a kid?
No. I never understood it to be an eye. It was just what it was. If you go back.
Looking at me, man.
No, if you go way back, there is an animation of the eye opening and turning into the CBS eye. Had I seen that, then yes, it would have freaked me out. Yeah, the eye was closed and it opened, and then the iris did an open close thing, and CBS was there. So then you knew you were being looked at
for television. Yeah, that was for television. They didn't have that kind of any kind of
logo.
Couldn't
do it on radio.
But I mean, they had logos that they had that they displayed on newspaper ads and things like that. But that was never part of anything until it became television.
On the telly.
Those flickering pictures.
There's a penguin on the television.
The flicker.
Is there a penguin on the? It blew up. The darn penguin blew up.
What's it doing there? It's standing.
It's standing. Have you guys, I went ahead and looked for the logo for Signal Gasoline. In my head, I had a different notion, but then I'm seeing the actual logo for it on buildings from way back when. I have never seen this gasoline station ever, so it must have been something out of the West Coast only. Okay,
yeah, it was
signal,
the West
but
Coast.
It's...
Yeah, Signal Gasoline was the West Coast. It probably got usurped by somebody else eventually, but that was a West Coast thing from California up to Washington and Oregon.
Oregon. I'm an Oregon transplant victim.
When I lived in New York, they always called it Oregon.
Already
and
done.
And they didn't call it New Orleans.
Nolans.
Or Norland.
Nolans.
We called it New Orleans. We didn't call it the Caribbean. We called it the Caribbean.
Caribbean. That's right. Uh-huh. Get her done. Yep. It's neat because the actual signs, the visual signage of Signal Gasoline has a stoplight in it. Go and stop. And that's right in there.
Are they going to have the limerick contest so I can write a new limerick for this week?
Oh, no.
There once was a woman from Chattanooga. And we didn't know what her name was. Yeah, there you go.
Dale, you sound so worried.
I know.
No, I'm worried about what I'm going to do if you get me going on limericks.
There once was a boy from Toledo. Yeah,
I have
we don't know
book,
where that's going to go.
It is not nice.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Blah, blah.
It's
the
survivor
man.
Of the 70s when you could put crazy stuff on the newsstands that people's heads would explode these days.
Yeah, that's true.
There is a very modern Signal oil company. What do you call those things? The convenience store. I'm like, whoa, wait. Is it Signal is still viable in these days and times? That's amazing if it is. Wow.
Let's see.
I'm looking at Signal. You'll find the clean stores. No, it's still viable. It's still viable. Signal about us. Let's see what it says about you. It says... Shrivener Oil Company Incorporated.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, so this is something different. It was established in 1984, and they adopted the Signal. Yeah, so where is this? Buffalo? No, it's all wrong. But it had the Signal thing on there. Meanwhile, back in Radio Land.
We got a ton of it, you know.
Sure, a whole lot of radio.
A ton of it. An absolute ton.
It's weighing over our heads.
No, I wouldn't say that. Let's go to part two then. Fortune of Vargas.
Yeah.
From
Escape. Esperdad.
We offer you Escape, starring Victor Mature. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. You are camped in the dry mountains of Mexico. 100 yards from a treasure and buried gold, a beautiful girl is sitting across the fire with a gun. And somewhere out in the night, a horseman waits, like the girl, for you to make just one mistake.
Dave will be scrambling now to upload part two. As we have two uploads of part one.
Oh, okay. Well,
and we will continue with Escape. Gary, you were saying. Are you back, brother?
I'm uploading.
Gary, yoo-hoo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking and my microphone was off. So I was saying Esperdat. Which is the truth. So are we hearing William Conrad as the narrator in Escape?
Yes. Accidentally, we uploaded two copies of part one. And part two is being uploaded as we speak.
And if you were lucky enough to hear the one we didn't air, the narrator was Trini Lopez. That's who that was.
Yeah.
So,
he did a great impression of William Conrad, though. He sounded spot on.
Trini Lopez was the amazing, if you ever didn't have Conrad around, Trini Lopez was your go-to.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the truth, and we're sticking to it. So there you go.
I heard she used to wear a Trini polka dot bikini.
That's the funny thing about Trini Lopez. Last I saw, she was a he.
Yeah.
But...
Hey, come on now, it's 2021. So
it's 2021. We can be anything we want.
It's ready to play.
There you go.
It's a safe thing to do now. It's ready to play.
It's ready to play.
Safer than this conversation was going, that's for sure. As we do a quick refresh gag and take you on to part two.
On that train. On radio.
If only I could find
real
it.
Real part two. It's called the real part two. The real part two. Part two.
Versus the fake part two.
Passepartout.
Yes, passepartout. We're going to travel the entire world in 23 days.
Okay, I'll just hit it. I was going to say, you want me to hit it?
Yeah,
hit it, hit it.
And now
you
back
go,
to
baby.
Escape, starring Victor Mature. Camped at dusk about a quarter of a mile from the spot where the train had been dynamited. Vargas had given me directions, starting from there. After we ate, I lit a cigarette and rolled up in my blanket and watched Consuela across the fire. She was worth watching. I kept wondering about several things, but mostly who the horseman was who has been following us all day. I'd seen the dust cloud hanging back a mile or so behind us ever since we left Durango. I didn't say anything about it to Consuela. I still hadn't decided what I was going to do about her. I figured I was fairly safe from her or from anybody else until the minute I tipped off the location of the goal. And right then, when the picture would change, and change plenty.
Senor Manny, why you stare at me like this?
Just wondering some things.
Things? What things?
If a girl like you would really kill me, just for gold?
I do not trust anybody, senor.
All right. But let's drop the senor. Make it Toby, huh?
You wish. He's of no matter to me. Toby.
Look, suppose I made a deal with you. String along and don't start any trouble until I get the gold to New York. Then if you're really Laura's daughter, I'll try to get Vargas to agree on a three-way split. One third for each of us. What do you say?
I think I do not like it. In New York, I will be in strange place. Here, I'm at home. Here, too, I have a gun. Sin sabe?
Well, think it over anyway. It's your best bet. I'm going to turn in now. We'll start early in the morning.
Wait. See, I will think it over. But, senor, Toby?
Yeah?
I wish you to know that I do not trust you either.
Okay, honey.
I do not trust anybody. You understand that?
Sure, sure, I understand. Good night, counselor. The second day out, the traveling was 10 times as rough. And all day long, the same dust cloud stayed with us, following a mile or so behind. I knew there'd have to be a showdown sooner or later, but not yet. When we finally made camp at nightfall, I was dripping with sweat and dog tired, and Consuela was slumped in her saddle. All of Manuel's landmarks had checked out during the day, and although she didn't know it, the gold was supposed to be buried within 100 yards of our camp. This was the night to trim the cat's claws. I was counting on one thing, that she couldn't stay awake 2 nights in succession. And I was right. By 2 hours after dark, with the full moon barely above the horizon, Consuela was sound asleep. I slid out of my bedroll and moved quietly around the fire towards her. I knew the gun was under the blanket at her head. So I bent over her and slowly, gently slipped my hand under and found it, eased it out into the open inch by inch, and dropped it into my pocket. I'd forgotten about her knife until it glinted in the moonlight. She leaped from the ground and came for me.
Verona,
I lunged for her wrist, grabbed her, hung her. While she struggled, twisted, fought like a panther. As small as she was, I could hardly hold her.
Let me go.
I couldn't get hold of her other hand. And I wondered if the knife might slip loose at any second. Back and forth, we fought in the moonlight, stumbling and slipping, but staying on our feet. I could see only one thing to do. I pulled her towards me, bent her arm back,
and twist. Drop it, Consuelo. Drop that knife.
No.
Drop that knife. Sorry. You should have dropped it.
You broke my arm.
No, it's only sprained. Better than being cut to ribbons the way I have been.
Why, you waste time talking. You think I'm afraid to die, you're wrong. You have the gun, you have my knife. Go ahead, kill me. Why you wait?
Wait a minute. Where do you get this idea I'm going to kill you?
Girl, why else you wait for me to sleep and steal my gun?
Oh, you silly little fool. Look, I was trying to make sure you wouldn't take a shot at me after we located the gold tomorrow.
You were not going to kill me?
Of course not. Look, why don't you get smart and find out you can trust somebody once in a while? Now, wake up now and get some sense in your head.
Your hands off
I'll
me.
Shake some sense into you if
don't
I have to...
Sense, you're hurting me. Why you look like that?
You little devil.
You complain. Why are you going to... No! You're going to kill me, then you kiss me.
Yeah. Here. Here's your knife.
But your mom, you take it away from me.
I know. But look, you better keep it for protection.
I do not understand.
Never mind. Just take it.
Gracias, señor.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn in now, and look, you'd better get some sleep, too. We got a tough day tomorrow. And, honey, if you decide to cut my throat during the night, make a clean job of it.
Bobby, are you awake? Bobby?
Yeah.
Buenas noches, Bobby.
Maybe I was a fool to give her back the knife. Still, if she wanted to kill me, it wouldn't make any difference. She could knock my head in with a rock while I was asleep just as easy. I'd never known a woman like her. At 10 o'clock the next morning, we found the gold.
That is all, Toby. There's no more?
No, it's all on the pack horse. Now, look. Starting right now, we're going to ride hard until we hit the Narset River. Somebody's been following us ever since we left Durango.
What? Why, you know this?
I don't know who it is or why. Maybe you do.
I? How could I know? Toby, I swear I do not.
Okay. Here. Now, look, you better take your gun back. You may need it in case we get separated.
Separated? I'm going to stay with the gold.
Sure you are, but you better take the gun anyway. Now, come on, let's go. Mile after mile, we pushed our horses on the trail to the north, riding most of the day over broken basalt rock to hide our trail. There was no dust cloud to show whether anyone followed, but I was sure somebody did. I was hoping to reach the Narset River before the showdown came. I knew there was only a rope bridge over the narrow gorge, and once across, I would cut the ropes and close off any further chance of being followed. So we pushed the horses and rode hour after hour. By late afternoon, Consuelo complained more and more of being tired. Wanted to stop and rest. And I couldn't be sure she wasn't trying to slow us down. Two hours after dark, we reached the river.
Bobby, the bridge there ahead of us. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so tired.
You're not alone, honey. Lucky there's a moon. This thing's no sense to cross in the dark.
It looks very weak. It's only held up by rope.
It's safe enough. Whoa, boy. Whoa, now. Whoa. Ah, here. Hold my horse. I'll lead the pack animals across on foot.
Toby. Be careful.
Are you worried about me? Or the gold?
Hurry, please. Take them across. Wait.
I think that will not be necessary, senor. You will put up your hand. Do not move.
Can you see him? He's in the shadow, right by the bridge. It's Pascualis, that guy in Durango. Were you expecting him?
Toby, I swear to you that...
Bastante, senor. You will drop your pistol on the ground. Very slowly, please. Gracias. It was very kind of you to discover the gold for me.
How did you know we were looking for it?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, in Durango. I'm Sargento Alberto Pascualis, formerly with the 4th Regiment of General Lara and the Army of the Revolution.
One of my father's soldiers.
For 5 years I have waited for Captain Vargas to come back for the fortune which I knew he had stolen. Stand out in the moonlight, please. Bastante, that's far enough. Now I lead the horses across the bridge, and then I cut the rope so that you cannot follow me. If you move, I will have to kill you.
Copy.
Quiet and don't move.
He does not know I have a gun.
No, Consuela. No! No, don't! Don't!
I had you move!
The pack horses reared at the shot. I lunged to stop them, stumbled into Consuela, grabbed her, and held on to keep her from falling. The half-mad animals carried Pascualis out onto the bridge and drove him along in further pounding hooves. I heard the rope supports creak and groan, and then snap with a loud crack, and like slow motion, the whole end of the bridge gave way. Pascualis and the three pack horses loaded with gold had plunged down into the gorge below.
Toby, I'm hurt. Very bad.
Hurt? What do you mean?
When he shot, I feel the bullet here.
No, easy now. Look, you're going to be all right. Now, don't worry.
No. No, I'm not afraid to die. Toby?
Yeah.
I like it very much when you call me.
Sure, honey. I'll be calling to that thousands of times. Well, I'll be... Consuelo! Consuelo! I knelt there in the moonlight, holding her in my arms, with the bare brown hills of Mexico around me, and cursed myself for a fool. The gold was gone, lost in the torrent at the bottom of the gorge. But it didn't seem to matter very much. I'd found a greater treasure. And because I had too little faith, that treasure lay dead in my arms. I lowered her gently and sat there for a long time. Then I picked up the gun she died trying to use. The empty gun I'd taken the cartridges out of because I didn't trust her. And threw it into the gorge. Then I dropped down on the ground and wept. I remembered Bately's words.
You need more than a break, Toby. If one fell right in your lap, you'd play it just so far. Then you'd start doubting yourself or somebody else.
I told you you'd show up, Toby. You even got here a day early.
Yeah, I know, Bately. Well, let's settle up my schedule.
You must have had yourself quite a vacation. You didn't find the big chance, did you?
No, I didn't find it.
Well, what'd you do? Just sit around in the sun for 3 weeks? Come on, tell me about it. Didn't anything happen?
That's right, Bailey. You hit it square on the head. Nothing happened. Not a thing.
Escape was produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes. With Victor Mature starring as Toby Manning, tonight we have presented The Fortune of Vargas, adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield. Victor Mature will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox Technicolor production, Wabash Avenue. Next week, we escape with Van Heflin, starring in Joseph Hergesheimer's terrifying story, Wild Oranges. Good night, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape, starring Van Heflin. CBS, where Bing Crosby can be heard every Wednesday night. The Columbia Broadcasting System.
With special guest, my Wild Irish Rose.
I thought that was an alcohol.
It is.
And Trini Lopez.
And Trini Lopez.
Has a horse. Has a horse.
She was a fine gal.
She was a fine horse.
And Ernest Borgnine is the horse's back end, right?
Ernest
Borgnine was actually in it, but he was a horse's saddle. That's what he was. He was a horse's saddle. Right. Yeah.
Now I feel sorry for the horse.
Yeah, well, me too. Yeah. No.
Come on, a little respect here for poor Ernest.
We have very little respect. I mean, you're right.
And the horse.
And the horse he rode in on.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, my. I bet you there's something we could learn from this, couldn't we?
And see that? Sure. Why not? Bound to be something.
Regrettably, Erie House Radio proudly resents Gar's moral of the story.
Boing.
Sometimes you don't realize that you already have a treasure until it is removed. Kind of like a bad tooth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same thing when I had that appendectomy.
Appendectomy? Is that where you divorced your wife? The first one? I don't know. Yeah. Hello. Blay.
Or is that where you change your... No, that's not it.
That thing there. Well, yeah.
Slightly different, John.
The doctor said they were just checking the oil. I was like, really? Okay.
Indeed. So that's our first story.
I have found the answer to our question is what became of the Signal Oil Company.
Oh, okay. There you go, Dave.
From Encyclopedia Britannica. The company was incorporated in 1928 as the Signal Oil and Gas Company to continue the business of Signal Gas Company. Within a few months, it became involved in the production side of the petroleum industry. It assumed the name Signal Companies Incorporated in 1968. Over the years, the company grew through acquisition into a highly sophisticated technological concern. In 1964, it entered the aerospace field by acquiring Garrett Corporation, which manufactured engines, control systems, and other aircraft and missile components used on nearly all U.S. commercial and military aircraft at the time. In 1975, the company acquired a controlling interest in UOP Incorporated, formerly Universal Oil Products Company, which produced environmental control system and provided technology for petroleum refining and petrochemical industries. And basically, it's still around, but they just don't pump gas anymore.
Right. There are no stations.
Anyway.
There's no money in it.
That's right.
I got news for you. All those guys say that there's more money in the selling of the sodas and the cigarettes than there in the lottery tickets than there is in selling gasoline.
I mean, it's a quickie mart is what it is. Anymore, most of your gas stations, it is a quickie mart.
if you look at it that way, they're getting all the different markets. They're selling candy, they're selling cigarettes, and they're selling gas all under one roof. If the grocery stores could figure out how to do it, they'd be doing it, I think.
Yeah, or be doing it better. Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. I know. Sam's Club has gas stations, but yeah,
they do. So do BJ's Wholesale. They have gas stations, and Costco. Does Costco have it?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
I believe they have gasoline.
I was surprised to find out that the Sam's Club here in this little teeny town I'm in actually has gas stations. I did not know that. I found out
but gas stations.
Gas stations, no gas. Yes. Gas stations, yeah.
That's right.
I don't know if we're going through that thing. I don't know if we're going through that thing that we had a few months back. Was it? I don't remember. When did we have that weird thing happen where somebody thought we were running out of gas and they ran the gas station dry?
The pipeline was
hacked. The pipeline thing. Was that?
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah. How long ago was that? Was that 6 months ago? When did that happen?
I don't know.
No, it was just, we do.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
Cheap.
I cannot.
We got it, but
Yeah. About a month and a half ago, thereabouts, I think.
Yeah. And we ran out of gas. And it was like, that was a weird thing. Florida is not part of the pipeline at all. We don't get it from there. We get it from other places. And we had gas shortages here in Florida because people are ridiculous. That's all they
– Yep.
People are ridiculous.
Yes. So let's go run out. Let's run out and get all the gasoline, and I'll bring all these extra Mountain Dew bottles to put it in and things.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. I like the lady with the laundry basket. The plastic laundry basket pumping gas, right? Yeah, that was – what the heck's wrong with
just
you?
Just for the hell of it, just to make the news, I think I'd run down there with a bucket, you know, just a pail.
Yeah, well
– run slide.
Yeah, one bucket on your head, one bucket, you know, on the ground. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
There you go.
And then switch buckets.
And that's what I do.
Switch
buckets. That's what I would
switch
do.
Bucket. Switch
no
buckets.
Switch buckets. Yep. Hey, we ought to step on the gas and get to our next feature. Chronologically, would that not be the Whistler?
Uh-huh. Well, okay. Yeah. If we're going backwards.
Yes, it would be.
Well. The Whistler's 51. Yeah. That's okay. There we go. Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
I'll agree.
This one's called Treasure Hunt. Dave, any facts about this particular episode?
No.
Okay.
There was a hunger sticker in there for you there, Dave.
There's an honor sticker for you.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Bumper sticker for the week, Dave says, I got nothing. Yeah, that was...
Okay. I got nothing.
Works for me. I bet we have a broadcast date, don't we?
I bet we do!
January 21, 1951, according to eight people.
And now, stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who is guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain.
I don't know!
In the Signal Oil program...
I know.
The butler did it.
Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline, invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadow. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, the Whistler's strange story, Treasure Hunt.
Looking into the future life of Robert Bolton, and then back at that portion he's already lived, we find it neatly divided into two halves, divided by a matchstick. The first half was exciting. He lived by his wits, and because they were extraordinary wits, he managed to dodge, double in his tracks like a smart football player avoiding tacklers, and keep one jump ahead of the law. The second half began when the train you were riding on pulled onto the siding in the little town of Redmond in Northern California, didn't it, Robert? You stepped off to stretch your legs, put a cigarette in your mouth, and fumbled in your pockets for a match. Finding none, you shrugged and strolled across the street to the general merchandise store to buy a box.
$200,000 at least.
That's what you've been saying ever since Colonel Randolph died. They've been living on credit for 5 years. Oh, every soul in town. We're never going to see one red cent. You mark my words, Charlie Mott.
But Martha and Evie are bound to find that money any day now.
If I hear that again, I'll scream out loud. When we find Grandfather Randolph's $200,000, we'll pay our bills. Well, they haven't found it, and they're not going to.
I guess the old colonel hit it plenty good.
And that's another thing. Why would any man hide a fortune like that and leave a crazy poem that nobody can understand to tell where it was?
Oh, I know, Lou. It's just that Martha and Evie Randolph are such nice ladies.
They could take in boarders, at least.
They're willing to take in boarders, but who stops over in Redmond?
Well, talking about it won't get us our money, but I'm getting pretty tired of...
hello, mister. Been here long?
No, I just came in for a box of matches.
Sure. Here you are.
Thanks.
You're just passing through on the train? Only stops 10 minutes. Let Limited go by.
You have a nice town here, Mr. Mott. I was on my way to Southern California, but Redmond is such a charming little place.
You might stay over a while, eh?
Could be, Mr. Mott. Could be. Conductor.
Yes?
My name is Robert Bolton. I'm in car 63, bedroom G. Will you have the porter get my baggage, please? I'm getting off here. Oh, the poor old car, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be. If you're one of the many drivers who are singing that lament about your car these days, has it ever occurred to you, maybe it's not your car, but what you're feeding it? For instance, if the starting isn't as prompt as it used to be, just try some Signal Ethyl, the premium grade of Signal's famous Go Farther gasoline. See if your motor doesn't spring to life the instant you touch the starter. If the pickup isn't what it used to be, just try Signal Ethyl. See if your car doesn't display new pep that makes you proud. And if the power on hills isn't what it used to be, just try you know what. See if Signal Ethyl doesn't change those pings to a contented purr. For after all, Signal Ethyl is scientifically engineered to bring out the best in any car of any age. Well, maybe it won't quite turn a vintage model into a new car, but the next best thing to a new car is your car. Powered with Signal Ethyl.
Yes, Robert, that matchstick made a difference, didn't it? Mr. and Mrs. Mott laid it on the line for you while you were waiting at the counter in their store. The situation of the Randolph sisters and their hidden wealth. And you're thinking it over carefully now as you sit in the parlor of the huge old Randolph home in Redmond, making your first impression on the Randolph sisters. Evie, ailing, suspicious, jealous of the family traditions. Martha, 40, hungry for sympathy, color, and laughter. Your opening move is a triple play. You talk to Evie, your remarks are aimed at Martha, and your mind is on the $200,000 hidden by Grandfather Randolph.
So you see, Miss Evie, I had to stop in here and inquire about a room. It's such a perfect place to finish my book.
Oh, you're an author.
Yes, Miss Martha, poetry.
Poetry, I love it.
Your judgment is not to be considered, Martha. But go on, Mr. Bolton.
Well, I've just got to have some place in which to write. A place like this, Miss Randolph, with those lovely trees, these grand old rooms with their fine floors, that mahogany staircase, why, that's a poem in itself, Miss Randolph. A sweeping curve ascending high to end its rapture in the sky.
Oh, that's William Brown.
Why, yes, Miss Martha. Do you know his poems?
He that to the voice is near, breaking from your ivory pale...
Need not walk abroad to hear the delightful nightingale.
Mr. Bolton, you may have the room.
Oh, that's wonderful of you, Miss Randolph.
There are conditions, Mr. Bolton.
Conditions?
I'm not a well woman. Let's have it understood that should I change my mind at any time... I shall expect you to understand. Martha,
Yes, Evie.
You may show Mr. Bolton to the room above the veranda.
Thank you again, Miss Randolph. I'm sure that my stay here will prove mutually profitable.
Well, you're established in the Randolph house, aren't you, Rob? But there's work to be done, if there is $200,000 hidden someplace. You know, Evie Randolph is shrewd, almost as clever as you are. But again, there's Martha. Poor, homely, pathetically eager Martha who hangs on your words. And you can be charming, can't you, Rob? The critics will never applaud your poetry, but Martha does. It's not long before you've made a conquest. And such a simple one. Martha has never had such wonderful times, has she? Movies, poetry, a drive in a rented car.
Oh, please, Mr. Bolton, you mustn't go so fast.
Why not? It's like living in another world. Just flashes of the earth we know, gone before you can see the ugliness, the drab grayness.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is like that.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear you laugh, Martha. Wonderful.
Oh, I was laughing, wasn't I?
Her laughter like the bells of Eden.
Oh, it's all so lovely, Robert. All so lovely.
You really mean this is the first movie you've seen in 3 years?
I never go out very much, Robert. You see, Evie.
Oh, you're wonderful, Martha. So unselfish.
Yes, Robert, it takes only a few weeks. Martha is hopelessly in love with you. But you've been very careful not to make love to her, haven't you? That you've been saving for a very important moment. A moment that comes one day as you walk with Martha in the garden of the Randolph place.
Robert, is there anything wrong?
Well, it's the book. It isn't going so well.
Oh, is that all? That you've got to expect times when you think things are all wrong. You told me that yourself, Robert.
Oh, but this is different, Martha. Maybe I'm a failure. Maybe people are right when they say a poet is some odd kind of freak.
Oh, I don't feel that way.
Oh, I know that, Martha, and I'm grateful.
No, I'm the one who should be grateful. And I am, Robert, so grateful.
You? But what for?
Why, because you've made me laugh, and you've brought something here I shouldn't talk like this.
But why not, Martha?
Yes?
No, I won't say it.
Say what, Robert?
Well, I... you know, for the first time in my life, I find myself unable to choose the right words. But, Martha, what would you say if I told you I loved you?
Oh, no, please, Robert.
Oh, but
no.
I do.
Oh, there's nothing for you to fall in love with. I'm ugly, Robert, ugly.
Don't say that.
It's true.
No, it's not. Listen to me, Martha. What is beauty if it has no soul? What is loveliness if there is no heart?
That's...
Robert Bolton. Martha.
Oh, Robert.
No, I shouldn't have. What have I to offer you? Nothing. You and your sister have all this. The house, the garden, money.
Money? Oh, Robert, dear, we have no more money than you.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I'm not. Evie and I have been living on credit. Everyone thinks we'll find Grandfather Randolph's fortune.
Oh, then there is money.
I don't believe it, but Evie does. She's looked for it so many times.
Oh, you mean like a treasure hunt?
You're making fun of it.
Oh, no, dearest. No, not really, but things like that just don't happen. Not in real life. Yeah, but suppose there was money, huh? And we found it. Then you wouldn't have to worry about staying here with Evie. She could have the money and we could have each other.
Oh, do you mean that, Robert?
Don't you believe me, Martha?
Oh, yes. Oh, but Evie would never let us see the verse.
Verse? I don't understand.
Well, Grandfather Randolph left the secret of his money hidden in a little verse he wrote. Evie keeps it in her room. I've only seen it once.
Oh. Well, then, that's that, huh?
But I could make a copy of it when she's asleep. She wouldn't have to know.
Oh, you're so clever, sweetheart. I'd never have thought of that.
That was simple, wasn't it, Robert? Having Martha suggest the plan herself was clever. She doesn't suspect a thing. Poor, homely Martha, who doesn't know you're going to leave the moment you find the money. And that night, she brings you a piece of paper.
Robert, here it is.
Are you sure that Evie...
Evie's asleep, and I left her medicine on the table by her bed.
Oh, you are so clever, my darling. Now, let me see the verse, huh?
Here it is.
Where the Black Queen's bishop points at three, there a shadow long you'll see. Four steps left, then two steps right. Careful now, you'll need the light.
Oh, it does sound crazy.
Now, just a minute. Black Queen's bishop. Look, that chess table in the corner, has it ever been moved?
Oh, no. Eddie wouldn't allow anything to be moved.
Oh, good God. It's all set up.
What are you doing?
You'll see. Here's the Black Queen's bishop. It moves diagonally across the board in two directions. Now, if we move it in this direction, it'll be pointed into the room. But if we move it this way, it'll be pointing at that big window.
And a three.
And a shadow long, you'll see. That's it. All we have to do is find a shadow right outside this window. At 3 o'clock...
Martha!
Oh, it's Eddie. She woke up.
You better go. We'll continue this tomorrow night. Well, go ahead. I hope Evie won't wake up tonight.
I hope not, Robert, but did you figure out the verse?
Yeah, I think so. Now, where the Black Queen's bishop points at three, there a shadow long you'll see. Now look outside, Martha. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the shadow of that elm tree would be... Come on!
You're so wonderful, Robert.
Oh, it's all so simple, like I told you a while ago. The shadow of that tree would end about here. Now, four steps left. And two steps right.
Wait, you're right in front of the old cooling shed.
Come here, Martha. Now... Now, the next line reads, careful now, you'll need the light. Martha, that means we'll need a light to see inside the cooling shed. That's it. The money's in the cooling shed.
It is.
But we haven't got a light now. We'll wait until tomorrow night.
Oh, I can get a lantern.
Oh, no, darling, no. We'll wait until tomorrow night.
But why? Can't we tell Evie now?
Oh, no, dear. We mustn't tell Evie until we get the money.
Well, I... All right, Robert, anything you say.
Hey, there we go with a sticky mouse here as we finish part one of the Weasler.
Yeah, I gotta be careful of them sticky mouses. Sticky meeses.
I hate Mises.
That's why Jinx. That's why maybe Jinx hated Mises to pieces. It could be.
I break them often. I see Gar in here twice. I wonder why.
I got disconnected and turned myself off, and Gar probably got disconnected as well.
Yep.
And he called
back, brother.
See Gar come.
Yes, if I can turn my microphone on. I'm such an idiot. Okay. Anyway, wait. Can you hear me? What?
Yeah, your microphone's on.
What?
I agree.
Huh? I agree.
Yeah. I agree.
Where's Gar, Dale? Where's Gar?
Where is Gar? I don't know where he is. Just let
Where's
him keep
Waldo?
Talking. He's crazy.
Where's Waldo?
Those sticky mouse traps are such a mess.
They certainly are. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the Mike. I figured it was from a certain area near here. Thank you for joining us. It is an honor and a pleasure. Also joining us in the chat, it's Linda Lucy, W. Fogsbane, GGSI Paper, good old Bob, and us.
Good old Bob!
And there's us.
Yeah, but we don't count.
Yeah.
No.
Not well. Wow. Not beyond like 7
no.
or 8.
No.
Yeah.
Not unless
well,
I take my gloves off.
Gar's got a garculator, so he can count, but, you know.
I got a garculator, that's so, right.
So I
yep.
count backwards, so, you know.
You count backwards, that's right, there you go. And Dale, he counts with his foot, like Mr. Ed. So we're all set.
You know, I get a kick out of Whistler. The host addresses the usually the criminal or the crazy person in each episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As if he's the conscience of that person almost.
Yes. I wouldn't want to be that conscience, but okay.
I hadn't really thought about that, but man, that would drive you crazy having to be a conscience of all the bad guys in every episode for years and years and years. Man,
that'd be all right for me. I can do it. I can do it.
You think Jiminy Cricket had it?
He could do it.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Dale has that dirty limerick book, so he'd be fine.
Yeah. That's the title of it, Dirty Little Limericks. And they're
dirty
awful.
Dirty
little
limericks. Dirty person.
Not for consumption here on Erie House Radio.
Mm-mm.
No.
Erie House Radio after hours.
It'll be not even after hours. There'll be none of that. No, Mike. Why is he called the Whistler?
Because he whistles at the beginning at the show, and that's how you hear him. He's the Whistler because he walks by night. That's
I feel a punchline coming because loose dentures and a sinus problem.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
Because if he was eating crackers, it would be called something completely different.
It'd probably be called the spitter because you can't whistle with that.
The spitter.
Yeah.
I am the spitter.
Whistle.
Yeah. I don't. I just have that one, and it does. It's only one tune, so, and it's not Kolchak.
No, it's not.
No, wait. Kolchak opened on a whistle, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I lost my team. I had it uploaded here. I can't find it.
Oh, no.
I must have taken it down.
Yeah. Now when they brought I should know this, not Dabney Coleman, the Kolchak actor guy. When they brought him over to the X-Files, did they mention that his last name might have been Kolchak, or did they invent a whole new character? Because there were some, like...
If you remember, Mark, we had Mark Dowidziak on, and he said Chris Carter wanted to call him that, and it wasn't even Universal that stopped him from using it. He didn't want to use that name.
He wasn't McGavin?
Darren McGavin did not want to use that name for that. So he became a Fox Mulder's father's first partner on the original X-Files would have been.
Oh, okay. Which was called the Kolchak Misadventures.
The Kolchak papers. Yeah.
The Kolchak era.
But, it would have been great for the historical thing of the X-Files, I think. But
true, guys, I'm going to make an announcement. It's something I've never ever said before. We got a whole lot of radio.
Right.
We got a whole lot of radio.
Anyway,
yes, never said that one before.
We do.
All right, let's wrap up Treasure Hunt from the Whistler. We'll be back.
Of course, Robert. Wait until tomorrow night. Then you'll plan to sneak outside without Martha. And you need time to pack, don't you? To get ready to leave suddenly with the money and without Martha. The next day, you sit in the garden smoking a cigarette, smiling to yourself, thinking how easy it was. And then suddenly...
Howdy, Mr. Bolton.
Oh, hello, Sheriff Conway.
You know me, huh?
Why, of course. You've been pointed out to me. In addition, that star glittering on your vest is in itself a monumental advertisement.
Yep. Mind if I sit down, Mike?
Certainly not, Sheriff. Make yourself at home. Well, did you come here just to sit in the sun, or do you have something more important on your mind?
What'd you do for a living before you got here, Bolton?
I've always written poetry, Sheriff.
Ever sell any?
Oh, sold enough to get by. All right. Anything else on your mind?
Well, Bolton, I ain't one to beat around the bush. There's some talk going around about you and Miss Martha.
Really? What harm is there in that?
Well, you're still a young man, handsome, and...
Why, thank you, Sheriff. I didn't know you cared.
I don't think you're up to any good, Bolton. Martha's quite a bit older than you, and...
Oh, so that's the way the wind blows, is it? Torch-bearing in the provinces. Hey, you love her, don't you?
Listen, I came here real friendly-like. Right now, I'm having a hard time to keep from smashing that pretty face of yours.
Oh, you won't do it, Sheriff, because you'd look a great deal sillier and more stupid than you do now. You can't afford that, Sheriff.
You're smart, ain't you, Bolton?
No, smart enough to know you haven't got a thing to say in this matter. Now, you listen. I intend to stay here as long as I like.
You're after their money.
What money?
The money old man Randolph hid somewhere around here before he died.
You'd have a hard time proving that, wouldn't you, Sheriff?
He doesn't have to.
Oh, Miss Evie, if you hadn't ought to come out here, I...
Please, Sheriff Conway, I can handle this. Mr. Bolton.
Yes, Miss Evie.
I gave you to understand when you came here that any time I chose to ask you to leave, you would do so.
So what?
Consider this your last day here.
You'd better reconsider that.
You heard Miss Evie, Bolton.
Sheriff.
Yes, Miss Evie.
Mr. Bolton, I'm a sick woman, but I'm not blind. My sister Martha's impressionable. She's infatuated with you, and you've done nothing to discourage her.
Perhaps I love her.
Oh, that's ridiculous, and you know it. Mr. Bolton, if you're not out of the house in 1 hour, I shall ask Sheriff Conway to evict you.
Martha might have something to say about this.
I've already told her. You have 1 hour, Mr. Bolton.
Well, Robert, that was a blow, wasn't it? If you leave, the money stays in the cooling shed. If you stay, the sheriff will have a field day throwing you out. Your only hope is Martha, isn't it? And you haven't much time. You sit alone in the garden thinking. Then suddenly it comes to you. There is a way, isn't there? You hurry over to the little pharmacy where you and Martha bought the medicine for Evie. The clerk knows you and says nothing when you ask for a little bottle of poison to kill rats. You sign the poison book. Hurry back to Martha with a half hour to go. She's in the parlor playing the piano.
Please, Martha, go on playing. I want to remember you like this. It fits the mood.
Please,
I'll just stand here by the piano and I...
Oh, I'll get it. Oh, this little bottle you dropped. Robert, it's poison. What were you going to do with this?
You weren't supposed to see that. Give it to me.
Well, you were going to... Kill yourself?
All my life I've had cherished and loved things taken away from me. I'm tired, Martha, tired and beaten. Misunderstood by the people I love the most, your sister. You.
Oh, no, no, not me, Robert. I swear it, not me.
You were going to stand by and let me leave, weren't you?
But what could I do? Evie.
You see.
I love you, Robert. I love you so much.
And does that solve the problem? No.
Well, what can we do? What can I do?
You could marry me. Then Evie would see that I do love you.
Robert, marry?
Don't you want to, my darling?
But Evie...
Give me that bottle.
Oh, no. I'll marry you, Robert.
Now? Today? We can go to Milltown right away.
Yes. Anything you say, Robert. Anything you say.
You don't seem to like me as a brother-in-law, Evie.
I despise and loathe you, Mr. Bolton. Oh, Evie, you don't know Robert. You don't understand him. Oh, you poor blind fool. Don't you see what he's after? But Evie, just a moment, Martha. Very well, Mr. Bolton. I suppose I have no alternative.
You're quite correct.
Martha, would you leave the room for a moment?
What?
Mr. Bolton and I have something to discuss in private.
Well, if you say so, Evie.
I'll be with you in a moment, dear.
Yes, Robert.
Now, Mr. Bolton. This is what you wanted, isn't it, Mr. Bolton? $200,000 in securities.
You've got it.
Of course, I've had it for 10 years. The verse was simple for me, too, Mr. Bolton.
Well,
I thought it was cash.
No, but half of them are yours anyway. Shall we divide them now?
Well, we'll have to have them analyzed. It'll take time.
It's simpler than you think, Mr. Bolton. As a matter of fact, I'd just as soon you had them all.
What are you talking about?
I'm not being generous, Mr. Bolton. You see, these securities have been worthless since 1929.
What?
Yes, the companies which issued these securities are completely out of existence. Take them, Mr. Bolton, and get out.
What kind of a trick is this?
I said get out. You know it now. Tell the whole town about it. We defrauded them. We lived for 10 years on credit because they believed we'd have money.
You let me marry that stupid sister of yours. She knew it all the time.
She didn't know it because I never told her I found them. She was happier not knowing. Now get out. Get out! Take your securities, Mr. Bolton. You got what you came for. Martha! Martha, come quick to me! You're ill! Oh, Robert, please help.
Not me. She can die as far as I'm concerned. I'm leaving.
Oh, Robert. Robert, please wait.
You rush to your room, hurriedly throw all your belongings into your luggage. In a matter of minutes, you're rapidly negotiating the few blocks to the railroad station. You didn't get the $200,000 as you'd planned. But you console yourself with the thought that all you've lost is a little time. That in a few minutes, the Randolph sisters will be out of your life forever. You reach the platform just as the southbound train pulls to a stop.
Ah, I made it. Goodbye, Redmond, and goodbye, Martha. I won't be back.
Every person who drives a car should know about what has been called the greatest improvement in automobile batteries in 20 years, an improvement which is now yours to enjoy in Signal Deluxe batteries. I'm talking about microporous all-rubber separators. Because these highly porous separators hold twice as much acid solution between the plates, new Signal Deluxe batteries deliver up to 35% more power, plenty to run your car radio and the many other electrical devices on today's cars. What's more, the extra long life made possible by microporous separators permits Signal to guarantee these new deluxe batteries not just for the usual 12 or 18 months, but for a full 30 months on a service basis. That makes the cost per month so low, you're actually saving money while you're enjoying the extra power and dependability of a Signal deluxe battery. So before you buy any battery, get your Signal dealer's trade-in offer for your old battery. Find out his convenient credit terms. Prove for yourself that today's best battery buy is today's finest battery, the new improved Signal Deluxe battery at Signal Service Station.
Yes, Robert. You're confident as you hurry into the station to buy your ticket on the train, certain that in a few minutes you'll be streaking away from the sleepy little town of Redmond and your exasperating experience with Evie and Martha Randolph and their worthless securities. You're glad to be returning to the life you enjoyed before you got off the train in Redmond in search of a match. Now you've purchased your ticket, and you move out to the platform and head toward the train.
I figured you'd be in a hurry to leave, Mr. Bolton.
Sheriff Conway. Look, get out of my way. I'm in a hurry.
You ain't taking no train, so you might as well simmer down.
Yeah? Well, try to stop me. Let Martha charge desertion. Let her do anything.
Martha ain't charging anything, Bolton. I am. And I'm charging you with murder.
Murder? Oh, come on. Now, look.
Evie Randolph's dead, Bolton. Dead of the poison you bought at Rigsby's Pharmacy.
But I bought that poison for myself. Ask Martha.
I got a feeling the jury's not going to believe anything Martha says about you. They think she was trying to cover up for you. I ain't telling you anything, though, am I? You likely know juries pretty well by now.
Now, look, Sheriff, if Evie was poisoned, she must have gotten it by mistake.
Sure. And Martha took it away from you and hid it in the medicine cabinet. And that's where poor Evie found it, the poor sick dazed thing.
And you don't believe I did it?
Who says I don't?
Well, you just said... What are you getting at, Sheriff?
Well, you can have your pick. You can leave Redmond.
Yes.
You can leave Redmond and face a murder charge on all this evidence. And it's solid evidence, Bolton. There's the money, the fight you had with Evie, the poison registered at the drugstore.
Now, wait a minute. You can't get away with this.
No. Or you can stay here and make Martha a good husband. Write enough poetry to take care of her. Take her riding. Make her happy. She deserves it. And I'll forget about the other. Well?
I won't do it.
Murders in this state get the gas chamber, Bolton.
All right, looks like you win, Sheriff.
No. No, I lose.
What do you mean you lose?
You see, you married Martha. But remember, Bolton, I'll be around checking up. And if you ever try to run out on her, I'll reopen the case on grounds of new evidence. And I swear before heaven and earth, Bolton, I'll send you to the gas chamber.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Signal Oil Company has asked me to remind all of you who play cards, a 12-page booklet giving complete rules for the exciting new three-deck version of Canasta, called Hollywood Canasta, is yours for the asking at any Signal station. No purchase required, no obligation. Any Signal dealer will be glad to give you this booklet on Hollywood Canasta free while his supply lasts.
Hey, all right, that's it for the Whistler. Let's get a quick a moral.
Okay, here it is. The end.
Once again, while riding in pain, Erie House Radio proudly presents another Gar's moral of the story.
Sometimes the treasure you find isn't the treasure you were looking for.
My apologies. My apologies. Stolen soundbite. A stolen soundbite. The shame. The shame.
Blame it on the mouse.
I did nothing. We better get moving if we're going to squeeze in this next episode.
Yep.
As we have Suspense,
better get moving, yeah.
The Treasure of Don Jose. Finally, J. Carroll Nash makes it to Erie House Radio. This one is from...
Well, he's been here with a Life and Luigi, but not in any dramas. So go ahead with the date there.
February 4, 1952.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers bring you Mr. J. Carroll Nash in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a story about buried treasure, a real buried treasure, and a curse, a tale we call The Treasure Chest of Don Jose, starring Mr. J. Carroll Nash.
Hey, Hap, what are you doing?
Getting a fast start with my Autolite Stay Full battery, Harlow.
Ah, you bet. Fast and dependable. And best of all, that Autolite Stay Full needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
And I know why, Harlow.
Sure you do, Hap. It's because the Autolite Stay Full has over 3 times the liquid reserve of batteries without Stay Full features.
Right, Harlow.
So, friends, visit your nearby Autolite battery dealer soon. He services all makes of batteries and has an Autolite Stay Full for your car if a replacement is needed. To quickly learn his location, just phone Western Union by number...
And ask me, Operator 25, and I'll gladly tell you the location of your nearest Autolite battery dealer.
And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, with The Treasure Chest of Don Jose and the performance of Mr. J. Carroll Nash... Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
This is not a pretty story. There is blood in it, the blood of men and women. There is a curse in it, and gold. But it is a funny story. It is a joke. A great joke I cannot laugh at. It is a joke on me. In matters of this sort, secrecy is of the most importance. In matters of this sort, no man is your friend. Once, I had a friend. We lived together in my little house on Black Cay down in the Gulf of Mexico. But then the hurricane struck, and everything was different. The wind blew for two nights and a day, and when the waves piled up on the cay and swept away the house, it was my friend Pedro who dragged me away unconscious and lashed me to a ring bolt on our little dock and saved my life. Next day, the sun was shining again, but there was nothing left on my little island. The splintered planks that once had been the house of my father were scattered among the stripped palm trees, and even the big chimney that was built by my great-grandfather was a pile of broken bricks. There was nothing but blue sea and a bright sun and heaviness in my heart.
Even the chimney.
What would you expect from such a wind?
Aye, my friend. So now at last the curse of the Gasparillas has fallen on you?
Curse? You speak foolishness. It was a hurricane.
So it was, but a hurricane sent especially to destroy you?
You cannot believe that silly tale.
Mm. Did not your father perish from a bolt of lightning that struck him from a cloudless sky?
The doctor said it was a heart attack.
And your grandfather pulled into the sea by a giant octopus?
He was washed overboard during a squall.
And all because of his father, Don Jose, the king of the pirates? And the curse put upon him and all the Gasparillas by the beautiful Doña Margarita, who preferred death.
Oh, you prattle like a schoolboy, you who have never been one day to school. Come, come, we will clear up this mess and build the house over again. You should know that I endured a certain local notoriety since I bore the same name and was the great-great-grandson of Don Jose Gasparilla, one of the last and one of the fiercest of the pirates of the Spanish Main. This was much less interest and concern to me than it was to my friends and acquaintances among the Florida Keys. Neither my father nor his father before him had ever profited by a single doubloon from the legendary treasure of our pirate forebear. As to the curse pronounced on Don Jose by the proud and virtuous Doña Margarita, I gave it as little credence as I did the recurrent tales of Gasparilla's buried treasure. But that was before Pedro and I set about clearing up the hurricane's mess. We were stacking brick from the demolished chimney when Pedro made a discovery.
Jose, look at this.
What is it?
Seems to be a box, a little iron box, the size and shape of a brick.
Well, let me see it.
There was a lock there, but it's rusted away.
Hand me that pinch bar.
There's a paper inside there.
Yes, it's very old.
What does it say, Jose?
Nothing. It's just an old paper.
Looks like a poem,
yes, huh? Yes. Oh, I remember now. It is a nursery rhyme from my father. And then he copied it for me when I was a little boy.
But what's it doing in this old iron box?
Oh, I must have hidden it away once when I was playing. Well, amigo, come. We shall get back to work, huh? It was a lucky thing Pedro could not read. Nursery rhyme. That rotting piece of parchment said, "On Dogbody's Island you could fare worse, if dare you will Don Jose's curse. For there, 33 yards, south-southeast of the Rocky Guards, you'll find a pleasantly fulsome measure of Gasparilla's earthly treasure." There could be no question about it. Here was, at last, a tangible clue to the hidden goal of my ancestor. It was mine, if I could find it. And why should I share it with anyone, even Pedro? I was the rightful heir, and I would claim it all. So that night, I took our only boat and rowed to the mainland. I spent 2 days in the public library in Key West searching the old charts before I found Dogbody Island. It was a tiny sand spit near the tip of Cape Cod. I withdrew all of my money from the bank, bought a suit of city clothes and an airplane ticket north, and the next day I was standing on a cold, windy Massachusetts beach talking to a suspicious real estate agent.
"No, sir, I ain't heard this called Dogbody Island since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Where'd you hear it called Dog Body Island?
Well, I really don't know. Some friend of mine down south, maybe.
Well, it's called Sprague Spit now. Ever since old Captain Sprague bought her up. Of course, she always was connected with the mainland at low tide. You can see the sandbar over yonder.
Yes, yes, I see her. Now, about the house.
Well, there she is, just above that point of rocks. Just a summer cottage. Too dang-gone comfortable this time of the year.
Well, it looks all right to me.
I can find you something heap-sight better in town. Got a nice little house just back of a gas station.
Well, I'm looking for solitude.
Yeah, you'll find plenty of that out here. Ain't a neighbor more than a mile and a half.
That point of rocks, is that the only one on the island?
Yeah. Pirate's Point, folks call it hereabouts. Fella says the buccaneers used to put in here for water in the old days. Me, I don't put much stock in them stories myself. You sure you want to rent this place?
It is just what I am looking for.
I wish you wouldn't. It said there's a curse on it. I wish you wouldn't.
It was perfect. My little rented cottage on the beach. Quiet, secluded, and yet within view of that rocky point, which must be the same one Don Jose called the Rocky Gods. There was a stack of firewood beside the kitchen door, and in a shed back of the house there was even a long-handled shovel, a most fortunate circumstance, since I did not want to create any suspicion in town by purchasing one. I can tell you I scarcely slept that first night, so great was my eagerness to be up in the morning, pace the 3 and 30 yards south-southeast of the Rocky Gods, and begin digging for my treasure. 29, 30, 31, 32.
Morning.
Oh, good morning.
Looks like it's going to be a nice day.
Yes, yes, it does.
Going to do some digging?
I beg your pardon?
I see you got a shovel. Looks like you're going to do some digging.
Oh, yes, yes, clams. I'm going to dig for clams.
No clams in the surf.
Oh, there aren't?
No, find them on the bayside.
Oh, then I'll look over there.
Don't dig them with a shovel. Got to use a rake.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. It's too late now, anyway. Tide's coming in. Another low tide at 5 this afternoon.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm a stranger here.
Yeah, I know. Heard you'd rented the Davis place. I'm chief of police of Quicasset.
Oh? Anything wrong?
No. Town limits come all the way out here, though. Gonna stay here long?
I don't know. A few weeks. Maybe all winter.
You a writing fella?
No.
Painting fella?
No.
Just taking a vacation?
Yes, yes, you might call it that.
Beats me. Well, nice to have this talk with you. Anything you need in the way of police protection, just let me know.
He couldn't know. How could he know? Nobody knew about the treasure clue but me. Yet he seemed so suspicious, and he asked me so many questions. Well, I went back to the house, sat by the window until he was out of sight up the beach. But by that time, the tide had come in and the treasure was buried by the ocean. So I waited until 5 o'clock when the tide was low. And then, carrying a gasoline lantern, I paced off the 33 yards south-southeast of the Rocky Gods and set to work. Although the evening was chilled with a brisk breeze blowing in from the sea, I soon had shed my coat and was dripping with perspiration. I lost all track of time and place and my own identity. I was a machine attacking the wet, sliding sand with huge bites of my shovel, widening the hole as it grew deeper until my lantern threw long shadows across the opening that had now become large enough for a coffin. Then my shovel hit something solid. I reached for my lantern and there, under its lifeless green glare, was a section of rotting wood. I shoveled wet sand to one side. There was a rusted iron strap. I had found it. An iron-bound chest. The treasure chest of Don Jose Gaspari. It was almost too much to bear. Suddenly my dampened shirt chilled me and I was seized with a fit of shivering. Then I began crying like a frightened child. How long I crouched there in this agony of relief and joy I cannot tell, but suddenly above the sound of my own sobs and the pounding surf and the sighing wind, I heard voices. Terror seized me. Who came now to violate my supreme moment? Who now threatened to deprive me of what was rightfully mine? I turned the lantern out, scrambled from the hole. A few yards away, I could see the beam of a flashlight slowly approaching. I ran, hid behind a ledge of rocks, my heart drumming in my ears, my held breath screaming in my tightened throat, trying to listen, trying to see.
What are you doing around here?
What were they doing? Did they know? At last it was quiet. I watched their light as they made their way across the island toward the bay. And then after a long time, I heard the cough of a motorboat. Still I waited until the sound of the receding motor was lost in the sighing wind and the hiss of the nearby surf. Then I lit my lantern and went back to my diggings. The hole, it was half filled, and suddenly my terror turned to rage. What had they done? I began digging savagely. But almost at once my shovel hit something that was softer than the chest and yielded to the pressure. I seized my lantern, crouched over for a closer examination, and found myself looking into the still, open, and vacantly staring eyes of a corpse.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. J. Carroll Nash in The Treasure Chest of Don Jose. Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Suspense Part 1, The Treasure Chest. Treasure. I'd rather say treasure. Chest of Don Jose.
I could say something, but I'd probably get in trouble, so I won't.
Okay.
I'm already in trouble. I'm not saying nothing.
Your
voice got so deeper, Gar. I'm not sure what happened here.
It did. It must be the coffee.
Uh-oh.
I thought someone had him by the...
By the treasure. By the treasure.
By the treasure.
Yeah. By the treasure.
Oh, no. They grabbed me again.
So, yeah. This one is a real treasure in the fact that it's pirate treasure this guy is going after. Real live pirate treasure. Well, it's a radio show, but.
As one does.
Yes.
Go after the treasure. And we're going after part two of Suspense. We'll be back. Maybe.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. J. Carroll Nash in Elliot Lewis's production of The Treasure Chest of Don Jose. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
As I stared into the open eyes of the corpse, I had a strange feeling that he was one of Don Jose Gasparillo's men buried with a treasure chest to guard it through eternity. But this was ridiculous. The man was only recently dead, no 100-year-old skeleton. And he was young and well-dressed, yet he stood between me and my treasure. Was this then the curse laid upon Don Jose come to rest at my feet? With the greatest effort, I covered the grisly guardian of my fortune. By then it must have been close to midnight. The tide was coming in. I dragged myself back to the house, tormented by 1,000 anxieties. Sometime toward dawn, I must have fallen asleep. For the next thing I knew, it was past noon, and someone was pounding on my door.
Hey! Is anybody home?
Just a minute. I'm coming. Oh, it's you, Chief. Good morning.
Afternoon now.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I was sleeping.
Thought you was dead.
Dead?
Yeah. Took long enough to waken you.
Excuse me, I had insomnia most of the night.
Insomnia, huh? Mean you was awake?
Yes.
Most of the night, you say?
Why, yes.
Hear anything peculiar out here?
No. What do you mean?
Prowlers or such?
Why should anyone be prowling out here?
Didn't say there was. Asked if you heard anyone.
No, I didn't.
Gotta check. This being in the town limit.
Why? Is anything the matter?
Yeah. Kidnapping. Murder, maybe.
Murder?
Yeah. Ain't you heard it on the radio?
I haven't got a radio.
Sure. Great consolation for a man living alone.
What happened? Tell me.
Young Harvard fella, sinful rich. His father paid the ransom, $20,000. But the kidnappers didn't deliver the boy. Got a 3-state alarm out for him. Think they're on the Cape somewheres. I'm just checking.
What makes you think they'd come out here?
Oh, don't know. Hunch, partly. Partly because somebody borrowed one of Jen Chantry's boats last night. Found a bloodstain in the cockpit this morning. Didn't see him.
No, I told you I didn't.
Yeah, so you did. Well, we'll catch them, of course, if they're on the Cape. Sooner or later, we'll catch them. Ransom money's in small bills, all marked. They'll get hungry sooner or later and spend some. Besides, we've got a pretty good description of them. Let me know if you see or hear anything.
Yes, of course. I'd be glad to.
Yeah, just checking.
Now, there was no time to lose. I had already missed one low tide. I had to get my gold and get it away from this island of suspicion and debt. I waited until 5 o'clock and returned to my diggings. The low scudding clouds packed the sand with sudden gusts of icy rain. There was little likelihood that I would have unwelcome visitors on such a forbidding evening. I quickly disinterred the body from my treasure hole. Unquestionably, he was the kidnapped victim, a young man dressed in flannel slacks and saddle shoes of a college boy. I dragged him to one side, out of sight behind some rocks where I couldn't see his empty death stare. Then I went back to my digging. By 7 o'clock, I had uncovered the chest and was prepared to lift it out of its grave. The curse? No curse, for here was the treasure, and it was mine.
I better give you a hand with that.
What?
He wants to know, do you need a hand with that?
Who are you? What are you doing here? How did you get here?
Low tide. We walked. Get out of the hole, Pop.
Answer me.
Help Pop out of the hole.
Yeah. Come on, Pop. All right, where is it?
What?
It's gone. He got rid of it.
Get him out of there.
Okay, Pop, come on.
No, let me go, please. Let me go.
Where is it, Pop? What'd you do with him?
Do?
Where's the kid?
There. I put him there.
Steve?
Yeah.
He's here.
What are you trying to do, Pop? Why'd you move him?
What's he trying to do?
He was.
Was? Was what? Look in the hole.
Yeah.
No, don't.
There's a box in here.
That's why you moved him, Pop. Get to the box.
Give me a hand with it.
Leave it alone. It's mine. Don't touch it.
Shut up.
Here. See it?
What do you got, Pop? Treasure? Buried treasure?
Don't laugh. Maybe that's what it is.
Let's get it out of there.
Leave it alone! Leave it alone!
I told you to shut up. All right, Steve, let's get it out of there.
There it was, my treasure, in the sand-covered, iron-bound box. Only it wasn't mine. Not while these two hoodlums stood over me with clenched fists and poised boots. At gun's point, they made me grasp one of the rusty handles, and one of them lifted the other, and they forced me to help carry it toward the house. My treasure, it was mine, and nobody could take it from me now. I must find a way to rescue it. When we got inside the house, they yanked open the chest and emptied one of the canvas sacks, its contents cascading onto the table in a golden stream of doubloons.
Well, what do you know? Gold.
It's mine. It belongs to me. It's my inheritance.
Yeah, I know, Pop.
Only you're going to pay a high inheritance tax, 100%.
Okay, now, Pop, I'll tell you what we're going to do. My friend and me are in a little trouble. And you're going to give us a hand, aren't you, Pop?
What are you talking about? Go away. Leave me alone.
That's just what we're going to do. We're leaving and we're taking that bright, shiny stuff with us.
The treasure is mine.
But we're going to be fair. More than fair. We're going to give you $20,000 in nice, up-to-date American money. How do we know? Maybe that junk of yours ain't worth half that money.
Your money's marked. It's ransom money.
That's beside the point. This door of yours won't work in a cigarette machine, you know. Gonna have to go to a lot of trouble to cash it.
What was that?
Window blew open. It's raining like the devil outside.
Better get started.
No, I won't let you.
Just take it easy, old man. You got no complaints. You're 20 grand ahead of the game.
Look at this, Jeff. Wind blew a piece of driftwood through the window.
Come on, we got to get out of here.
All right, let's go.
Grab one under that chair.
Wait a minute, you forgetting something?
What?
A sack full on the table.
Oh, yeah. Here, Pop. Here's one for you as a souvenir.
Come on, Jeff. We got to get this thing across the sand spit before the tide comes in.
Yeah, we're all finished here. So long, Pop.
No, my treasure! My treasure!
And thanks, Pop. Thanks a million.
And they were gone, walking slowly across the dunes with their heavy burden. I watched them, unaware of the sheets of rain driving through the open door of the cottage, unaware that the house itself was shuddering from the impact of the storm, unaware that the wind had shifted from northeast to southeast. And suddenly I became conscious of my great danger. The thin frame cottage was creaking and shaking. It was shaking from the relentless wind, and the sound of the storms had a familiar tone, a tone I had heard once before, and then I realized the wind had shifted. I realized this was no ordinary storm. This was a hurricane. Outside, the waves were piling up, coming closer and closer to the cottage. Over my head, there was an ominous crunching, ripping in the eaves. I could see the great daylight through the eaves. The roof would blow loose any moment. I threw myself against the kitchen door and, crouching low, ran away from the sea. Down behind the shelter of a high dune, I stumbled against the cranberry bush and fell flat, spread eagled on the sand. And suddenly the wind stopped, the rain stopped, and there was the calm of death. It was the center of the hurricane, the eye, the moment of respite before the final fury of the storm. And I remembered the curse and wished aloud for its fulfillment. And there was no sound but the booming of the furious surf, and then there seemed to be a distant human cry. I looked toward the rocky guards. Far in the distance, for an instant, I could see the tiny struggling figures of my tormentors. And then a giant wave crashed down on them, and the spit disappeared in boiling, angry water. And the wet heavens descended again, hurled upon me by the tail of the hurricane. With a light in my eyes, a light brighter and bigger and closer than the sun, and I heard a voice.
You all right, Mr. Gaspar?
No, who?
It's me, Tris Weatherby. Got out here as soon as I could. We was worried about you. Out here with no radio, you couldn't get the storm warnings. You come up so fast, wasn't time to get you off.
Oh, thanks. That's very kind of you.
Lucky you got out of the house.
Why?
Ain't there no more. Ocean came plumb through, carried the house right out into the bay. Made two islands out of Sprague's Spit.
The house is gone?
Not a stick of it left. 10-foot channel where it stood. Storms play funny tricks. That kidnapping I told you about.
Yes, what about it?
Found three bodies out near those rocks. The kidnappers and their victim. What do you know about that?
Nothing. Nothing at all. It is a very funny story, no? But I cannot laugh. The joke is on me. You don't believe me? But look, here is the gold doubloon. All that is left of the treasure chest of Don Jose. Yet I know this to be true. There is a treasure. I saw it, held it. And that treasure still exists. Only now there is no map. But I can tell you, in the rocky surf near the two islands called Sprague Spit, if you will dare the curse, is the treasure chest of Don Jose.
Suspense. The story of a true buried treasure presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. J. Carroll Nash. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The treasure chest of Don Jose was written for Suspense by Christopher Anthony. Featured in the cast were Anthony Barrett, Charles Thiel, Joseph Kearns, and Clayton Post.
J. Carroll Nash has just completed Clash by Night, a Jerry Wald, Norman Krasner production. for RKO.
And remember, next week on Suspense, Mr. James Mason in an adaptation of Odd Man Out.
This is Boxcar Willie here on Erie House Radio.
I told you not to swallow that thing, Gar. I told you not to swallow it.
Well, you know what happened. Yep. And lastly, Erie House Radio proudly presents, and boy do we ever, Gar's moral of the story.
Hey, boy, boy, the notion of treasure can be far more exciting than having it.
Here you go.
I don't know if you ever had it. I've never had the treasure, so I couldn't tell if that were true or not.
I have, and it's actually not as exciting as you'd think. But, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Yeah, we got more buried treasure for you tomorrow night. Two tales.
We do.
Not only does CBS Radio Mystery Theater return to Saturday night here on Erie House Radio, but Yankee Yarns. Tales The Laughing Maiden and Buried Treasure, respectively.
And in our shameless promo, of course, I'm harvesting votes for the 2021 Horror Host Hall of Fame, and you can cast your vote. Go to the Weirdness Really Bad Movie Facebook page, TWRBM, for the Weirdness Really Bad Movie, and information there. But you just send it to the email at the Horror Host Hall of Fame at gmail.com.
Yep.
And,
vote
that's
now.
Where you can cast
vote
your
often.
Vote.
Yes.
Without pregnant pauses. Vote.
Vote.
Yes. Yep, yep.
Vote.
And what happens after our show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Gar?
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Over on twitch.live. Go find a website. It's Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
Well, that was helpful.
Wasn't it? I don't know the name
just
of that website thing.
We're out there somewhere.
Just go, I don't know. It's not my problem. Okay, it's twitch.tv/gar_THE for the _GHOUL/, and then you'll get there. Okay, there you go. Twitch.tv, Gar the Ghoul. Okay, have fun.
And any weirdness, really bad, the Bayship one coming to anywhere. Anywhere folks can see it?
We have a Spaceship One to be coming to YouTube, I think, fairly soon. Jim's been talking about it quite some time. And next week, I'm back on location for another Weirdness Really Bad Movie. So
nice.
I'm
just in time
here.
For summer. Just in time for summer.
Yes.
Isn't summer like a third of the way gone? But okay.
Yeah,
there you go. Thanks,
July,
Mike, for putting that up in the chat. There's the email address to vote for Dave for the Horror Host Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah, buddy. Yeah, yeah.
We've been warmed.
Yeah,
I'll get around to all of you. I've been doing a lot of Facebook contacting individuals and stuff, and so if you haven't heard from me, you probably will.
That's right. We're coming after you.
Something like that.
We're also you can also find it on Dale's Facebook page and on the Erie House Facebook page. All these places, and soon it'll be on the Weirdness Really Bad website. There you go.
Just pretend we're in Russia and Dave is Putin. Now, who are you going to vote for?
The bear. Always
the
vote
vodka.
For the bear.
The right
vodka. I'm voting for the vodka. Yes. Yes.
Vodka. Yes. As Dave is a writer, he writes and he drinks Pepsi Zero or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Which is almost as good as a Smirnoff Ice Black Cherry. We will see you here tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern. Good luck in prison, as I used to say often.
go
the
find
castle treasure. Lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone,
treasure,
don't come alone.
Treasure.
I guess since we're out already.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what a turnout tonight. Was that nice or what?
Yeah.
And Mr. Mace graces us with his presence.
Yep, he did, and he was a busy jabbering away there. Cool.
Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And right
people,
as we
eight people that aren't us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, you can do the math. I got seven, but one left. I think Paul. No, there. I got ten.
You slide down for Rob Smith. Oh no, Rob Smith Senior Junior is the last one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 7. 5, 6,
says
7.
Says 10 speakers
somebody,
to me.
7, 8, 9, 10, yeah. Yeah, 10 speakers. You're right.
So there's 10 speakers minus 3 is...
No, there's 10.
Wow.
No, there's 10. There's 9.
But 10 minus 3 is what? 7. I don't
7.
Know.
Yeah.
7.
7! Good crowd. Good crowd.
Very nice.
As soon as Vincent Price hit, someone outside my house set off mortar fire. I'm like, oh, thank you guys. So they're blowing up crap already.
Signifying the end of a fine show.
10:31 p.m. on July 2nd.
It's fanfare.
They're early and they're late.
Well, it is too early for 4th of July. I mean, hold off on the fireworks. If you're going to do it one night and then be done. Because, people do that
asleep. Do it far away from everyone. Go to an industrial park, have at it. Because nobody's at the industrial park, nobody cares. But if you're in my neighborhood, it's a neighborhood. Come on. And it's 10:30 at night. Come on. I don't want to hear that.
No.
But I'm an old curmudgeon now.
Residential, not good. Residential packed in close, not good.
Yeah, and they could actually cause a fire doing all that crazy stuff to someone else's house, so they don't care. Oh, they're careless already for what they're doing. But I'm over the age of 50, so I'm allowed to be a curmudgeon now. and I'm working up the curmudgeon on this.
Get your fireworks off my lawn, he says.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
I don't want to know about it.
The paper the next day. Oh.
Especially if it's, papers that were inside your house that are now outside because your house blew up because of morons with mortar fire. Yeah.
It's not going to blow up unless I mean it to.
Yeah. Boom, booms. All the boom, booms.
I'm going out with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
I can smoke a little too close to the, anyway.
So the fireworks? Yeah, you shouldn't do that. In the last iteration that we had, the suspense, wasn't the cop a little bit like Columbo? Because you didn't hear any prowl, and he's like, there are prowlers? I didn't say there were prowlers. I said, did you hear any prowlers?
Dave
was
purposely shutting off his microphone. Because I turned him back on and it went off again.
That could have been Google...
I don't know. Let's find out. Are you purposely shutting off your mic, sir?
You did mention that, but yeah.
Yeah, he is. It sounds like he's having a private conversation. So let's leave it that way.
With his friendly neighborhood pirate. He's looking for treasure.
Yep, I got a cat over here. You want him?
I'm fresh out of cats, but... Yeah.
Oh, he finally got the nerve. The dog was...
To meet?
No. The dog was tied up upstairs, outside.
Oh, uh-huh.
And my wife was at the top of the stairs. And he loves my wife, too. He loves me. He loves both of us very, very much. So he wanted to see her, and then she went and got treats. So that was it. He came upstairs and sniffed around a little bit. Denise tried to get him to go to the sliding glass door to get a gander at the dog, and it's like, nah, I don't know if that's a good idea. He might have a stroke, a kitty stroke.
Wow. Hope not.
Yeah.
But he's working his way up. I'll bet you it'll take him like 2 months. And by then the dog will have grown like twice his size.
Yes. Yeah. It'd be best if they got to know each other when they're a little bit similar in size. I know right now he's already
three times
larger than the cat. Okay.
No. I'd say.
Oh, he's still puppy? Okay.
Yeah, he's still puppy. He's only 12 weeks old.
Oh, okay.
But he probably could be a good 25 pounds. We're going to find out tomorrow. He goes to the vet.
I have the mind of a 12-week-old, someone once told me.
I get to
that lollipop, and you're a happy guy. You know,
I'm married. I'm always being told I'm immature. I'm married.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know how that fits together.
And it's hard to get mad at my wife because she's right.
And you like to live. And you don't want to die in your sleep.
It's not that. It's a fact. I'm a little bit immature in some ways. Now, if you consider that just being youthful or keeping a youthful outlook, okay. But either way, part of me, at least, is very immature.
No, I'm not.
I ran across something this week that I had never seen before. It comes to us from the year 1969. It's called Fangs of the Living Dead. Italy and Spain's first vampire movie. And is it a stinker?
Oh, God.
It's
perfect
bad.
For your show.
Perfect. Yeah, we already have. It's already in the can. It's already been spruced up because it needed it. And, we're all set for, actually, we're going to air it tomorrow, if all goes well.
Do you ever have, like, movies that you feel do not need spruce up? Yeah.
There are some that go untouched, yes. And then there's some that, this one needed it so bad. It was just like, there's so many parts where it's dead air. Where you see someone walking, but you can't hear their footsteps. There's nothing. And my pal fixes it up. He puts the footsteps in there so you hear them. If it's on gravel, if it's on tile, whatever. He does it just, it's amazing.
Yeah, I would put these things in. Clip-clopping.
It depends on where you're going to go. Are you going to make it a comedy, or are you going to stick with, some of the correct illusions that you want in the film? So there's creaking doors that aren't there that need to be there. They're put in. There's door closings that's put in. If someone stretches and they go, then he puts that in.
Yeah.
My feeling,
personally, if I have to put in a sound effect, I'm going to make it humorous if possible.
Silly. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's why. It's all about the funny.
I do silly.
I enjoy it. That's where I move towards.
You redefine silly in some ways.
I try.
I mean that in a flattering way.
I'm flattered. Like a pancake. Of course. So there was that. But what else was there? Oh, concerning treasure, was your first kid ideation of treasure loosened upon hearing the that storybook. Now I can't think of the name of it. It's a kid's book.
Treasure Island?
Treasure Island? Yeah, that one. There we go. There you go, Dave. Yeah. That one. It was this book I read. It was called, it was Treasure Island. Yeah, so that was my first one. And then the second one would have been Disney and the Pirates of it was the Pirates of the Caribbean, but it was more like Peter Pan. They had pirates. Although, I don't think that Captain Hook was looking for treasure, was he? He was looking for a crocodile that swallowed
There were pirates in Swiss Family Robinson, but I don't remember there being treasure.
Another one, but this is much later, of course, would be the pirates that were in Danger Island on the Banana Splits.
And what was that one? The pirates with no pants or no? Of Penzance or?
Penzance, yes.
Yes, that's it. They had pants.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was. Yes. That was crazy. That was a little bit weird. Yep. The pirates on Danger Island. Danger Island. If I remember Chango. This correctly, the Chango. Yeah, that guy. And he sounded like a monkey. He had no dialogue, but he sounded like a monkey. The blonde on that show was actually, I believe, the daughter of Julie London and Bobby Troup.
And also, Jan Michael Vincent was in that, wasn't he?
Jan Michael Vincent, yeah. So it was loaded with people you might not know about.
Jan Michael Vincent went on to Airwolf with who he did
Airwolf.
With who? With Ernest Borgnine.
Yay! Yeah, Ernest Borgnine. Finally got him in there, legitimately. All right.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Woo!
Nothing worse than
Carol Nash.
Borgnine, you know.
Borgnine reference, yeah. Well, I like him. I don't know if you guys do. You guys probably like, no more with the Borgnine. Borgnine.
He's always welcome here. Ever since there SpongeBob, he's welcome here.
There you go. Yeah, he was Soapy Boy or something. I forget it. I don't know what's going on. Soapy Boy.
Oh, it was no.
Sponge Boy.
Something Man and Barnacle Boy was.
He was like Barnacle Boy. That was it. Yeah,
Conway.
It was something
that
Boy.
Was
he was
Conway.
Right. And
Mushroom.
And
Man
it was a knockoff on. A knockoff on Aquaman and Aqualad.
Yes.
With Barnacle Boy and Starfish Guy or whatever that was.
Yeah, Starfish on his face.
Yeah. what else? Treasure is always cool. And I don't know, and I would hope it wasn't. I would think, well, it depends. I guess it would depend on the person. But, you know, not necessarily saying that your friend that was a girl had to be a Tom girl to enjoy a good treasure story. Maybe, you know, outside of the Barbie realm, there was some pirates and treasure and fun stuff for girls as well.
See, when I was, that's an interesting point, Gar, because when I was a kid, I could never find a girl that could possibly be interested in horror movies, comic books, you know what I mean? Things like that. And the things that made my world go round. And I thought I'd never ever meet
anybody
who had the
today.
Remotest interest.
And I don't know why it's changed, but it has. There are gals that are into comics and they love comics and they like horror and they're more expressive of what they enjoy than they were in the past. And I don't know why that is. And that could be, you know, stereotypical the upbringing or stuff, you know, oh, you're a girl, you know, thus on a dress and here's a Barbie.
It could be.
Shut up.
It could be.
I don't know.
And maybe some of the young girls felt they should conform and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I personally am jealous because I would have enjoyed, you know, that when I was young.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't have been cool.
Knowing there's girls that like what I like. How cool is that? Maybe I'll actually get a date someday. You know, an interesting one yet.
I can call her this. I don't think of her as this, but my first wife. I don't have a second wife, but my first wife. We actually would go, and we would go on. We went to flea markets, and we went to comic book stores, and she got comics, and I got comics, and we both swapped. And it was neat having having a friend and a pal and a mate, and they were and they enjoyed comic books too.
Until they get it in the divorce.
Oh. That didn't happen. But, oddly, she was like, you can keep your weird stuff. No, thanks. So you know, but she enjoyed the things she enjoyed. So, yeah. So,
that's why she's
actually,
alive today. Yes.
Well, actually, some of the comic book stuff that I had actually helped pay a few bills because I cashed it in, which is always horrible, but you know, hey, it served a real life purpose. So that was
there.
Not bad.
I have been there.
Yeah,
it's painful.
And now I'm on the other side of that coin where I got all the stuff I got, and I've got all the stuff I need. So that, you know, I'm not Oddly, I am definitely still looking forward to the next marriage where I can, you know, at least give half my stuff away again. Sure, why not?
Yes.
You know, hey, it was. I didn't. That's not what happened. But
bad marriage when it's something they didn't like. Let's say you had a wife that didn't like comic books, but they demand them as part of the.
Oh wow! Yeah. Oh, that's just hurtful.
You had a bad marriage, buddy.
Right. Well. See, the amazing thing that a prenup.
It's called a scorned woman.
Wow, that is.
Yeah.
But to protect yourself, we have.
That's a hateful human being right there.
We have a prenup, and the prenup says, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to hang on to it. And then if we add to what is mine, then we'll figure out what to do with that. But, so I think that's the best route to go, is a prenup. And it's not a bad thing.
That's a better prenup than I got. My first prenup was what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. That's what my first prenup was.
Yeah, that's the Johnny Carson prenup. You don't want that one.
I don't think I should have signed it. No.
In blood? No, definitely not.
Yeah, no, the blood, messy. Which I don't personally don't mind, but most people don't like it. So.
Yeah, well, you know. As diabetics, apparently we got lots of blood. We have to check it all the time.
I still have some floating around.
Do you? I got some. Every other morning, still got some. So.
For sale? Oh, never mind.
For sale? Sure. No. Oh, I went through this a long time ago, and you really have to be hurting it, I think. You have to kind of be hurting to go this direction. I was actually thinking and considering, you know what? I just saw this sign that said, you know, they'll give you $50 or $100 for blood. And I was like, okay, why not? I'll grow more. You know, it's okay.
I'll
have some orange juice and cook. Oh, you know, it's okay. You know, I'm a factory of blood, so it's okay. So I went in there and I sat there and I filled out the paperwork. And then they explained the procedure to me. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to take the blood out. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. And then we're going to take what we want and then take the rest and put it back. And I was like, no, here's the deal. If you take it out, it's out. It's not coming back in. I'm done. That's it. You keep. No. We're not doing that. No. Because they just wanted like the platelets or something. And I was like,
well,
if you take it out, it's yours. I'm done. You know, you give me the orange juice and a cookie. I'm down the road with $100. I don't want it back inside. And they were like, no, you have. And I was like, no, end of that story.
Actually, I've donated blood. Yes,
I have. And I found out I was A positive, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Only to find out that A positive is not a good match if you need blood, so it's not good. You know, but you know, and someone just blew off another mortar. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Sammy. I have another. No, I don't want it. So, yeah, this and New Year's Eve are two of my least favorite holidays because of the boom booms. I just, you know.
Different, but, yeah, people could be more respectful of their neighbors.
They could go to – there's an industrial park not that far away. They could go there. They could go crazy. And you know what? I wouldn't hear it. I'd be happy. Or they could and someone, I think it was Dave. No, someone I was talking to. Anyway, you know, in these economic times, can you afford to sit there and burn money that can be used for groceries or a car payment or a mortgage payment? I don't know. Apparently so.
Hey, I didn't buy them. Junior's money bag. So in his case, the answer is yes.
I gotta say, you conned your son into it. That's what happened.
No, actually,
yeah.
Did he help you?
I wasn't even thinking about it when he said, "Hey, you want to ride out to Sandusky?" I'm like, I bet you I know why. It's summer.
Yeah. Well,
and blow him up with you? Does he come over and blow him up with you?
Okay. Yeah, the houses are a little bit too closer by him, and there's no real wide open spaces where we have. You know, a source of water nearby just in case. Because I always keep, like, a bucket of water when I have a fire up by the fire ring, too, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when a sparkling ember goes where it should not have. But I rarely have fires when it's windy, so it's generally just not a problem. Same thing with the boom booms. If it's too windy, I'm not doing it because there's no control.
Right.
We haven't come to
These people here are doing it in between raindrops. It's raining here, and they're still doing it.
Yeah, see, I'm not doing
that. Nah, I am so...
Nature throws a good fireworks on their own sometimes with the lightning. You know, that's something... Dave, do you have that feeling, like, longtime Ohioans? It seems like every 4th of July there's terrible thunderstorms. For years it was like that, but this year it seems like it's going to be rather nice.
Well, yeah, we've had a lot of nasty weather leading up to it, but it's supposed to be nice this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I think the 4th of July, there'd always be, like, this horrible thunderstorm, sometimes with threats of tornadoes and all kinds of stuff.
I think that's why a lot of – I think that's also why a lot of fireworks started theirs on the night before, just because in case it rained out, then they could actually do it on the 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of communities, like out here, they do it rather early. My son actually wants to come out tomorrow because they're going to shoot them over the reservoir, which is like maybe 1,000 feet from where I'm at, 1,500 feet. And if they shoot them high enough, we can see the top, like the really high ones, from the backyard, or we used to be able to before we got all these damn trees. So now I got to move behind the trees and shoot the boom booms into an open field.
Oh,
and everything's like freshly mowed and moist, so it's all good.
Here in Gainesville, we have something called a canopy law, where they don't allow the cutting down of trees. They like the trees, so there's a whole lot of trees. So another problem against this firework stuff is the opportunity to burn down a tree. And there's always, you know, and difficulty and safety, it's not there. I understand that in Portland, there was a news report that says it's because of all the problems they've had in Seattle, Portland area.
Well, yeah,
they were stuff
actually
happening.
Aiming them at people, which is like,
Yeah. So, they're saying there that they have a problem because it's illegal to have them. But they're still selling them. You would think they would say, well, the selling of them is illegal. The having of them is illegal. It's all illegal. Don't do it. There you go. But instead,
well,
it's like,
was like
one
that
hand,
for years. It, everybody went
yeah.
to
one hand's
speed,
doing this,
but it was
one
illegal
hand,
to
yeah.
use them.
Right. You had to promise. You had to raise your left hand and promise that you would go to another state to set them off.
Which no one did. And now they might be. Well, and there was so much entrapment with that, which... I don't know, justifiably maybe. I mean, if you've got a patent way of making people lie and break the law, then you need to change the law one way or the other and just say no, and we're going to enforce it, or yes, and good luck with your fingers, you know? This is where Darwin
I've always...
over. The dumb kids shouldn't grow up with fingers. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's true. Geez, they pick them out in a glove contest, you know. Put on this glove.
Yeah.
I don't have the fingers. You know, so.
Yeah.
What
happened
where
to you?
Been
I don't
on
know.
The weekend.
I'm stumped. I don't know.
Ouch.
No, I mean, it is bad, and sometimes I've had, you know, certain things not behave the way they were intended to through no fault of my own, and it's like you could still take precautions.
Yeah. Well, that's why they say leave it to the professionals.
Yes. That's why when we were kids,
like
when we had BB gun wars, everyone was required to wear safety glasses.
I'm glad how you said you could take safety precautions. Didn't say you did. You said you could.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you could take a multivitamin. You don't have to, but, you know.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, my
God. See, now this noise I'm hearing right now is like one after another.
Yeah, I hear
it. It could be gunfire. I'm not going outside. I'm okay.
Yeah.
That's why we have indoor plumbing, Gar.
Yeah, that's a gang war right there. I don't know what's happening.
Don't go outside. It's bad for the grass.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm going to wet all over.
Yeah, you know, dogs will burn a hole. Can you imagine what a human would do?
Oh my. Yeah,
you know. Oh my gosh.
So, and again, it's almost 11 on the July 2nd. It's not even the day. You know, most of the time they would at least wait till the day. They don't even wait for the day.
Yep.
And again, see, now we have scheduled for this weekend an amazing hurricane that's going to come through and destroy at least half of the state. And so, you know, and I'm really, you know, being a cheerleader for this because it will curtail all these explosions.
Yes. I don't know, man. So, it's insane the amount of stuff some of these people buy and what's available. Like, we bought medium grade stuff. They have this high grade stuff. Oh my word. It's very much like display level.
It's mortar
stuff.
Rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's mortar
they
rounds.
Can be quite dangerous if you're a moron.
And
you know.
And it rattles. I just replaced my windows, so I've got the double air cushion, all that stuff, and it's supposed to keep noise down. I hear this stuff; it comes right through.
Of a basement. The beauty of a basement.
If I had a basement, I'd be there. You know.
I get a shovel.
And
there's not too many
in a way
in Florida, is there? Is it something with the ground?
There.
Yeah.
They call it a tri-level, where they do go down some. They'll go down six feet, and then 2 feet will be above ground.
Like a split level,
and that's your
type
basement.
Deal, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Where you do have windows in the basement
submerged.
That have lights.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. But we don't have like a full dungeon type circumstance.
I love my dungeon.
Yeah, I'm glad that I don't have the dog thing going on, but in a way, I really wish I had the dogs back, or had dogs with me. But you know,
yeah,
a friend in the house. But
I'll tell you
unfortunately,
what,
we
had to think about it, Gar, because we're at the age too. It's like I don't want to leave the world before the dog does.
Fortunately, you have kids.
It's gonna break my heart when I lose them.
Right, right. Well, fortunately, you have kids, so they can go to the children, maybe. You know,
yeah.
It's you know, it's like.
Oh, I know they'll be safe. My son's been chasing a bird nest around. The mother kept throwing the babies out. Apparently, there was something wrong with them because we couldn't save them.
Huh. Well, so I'm going to have to get married and adopt some kids and then get a dog so I can give the dog to someone when I pass. So
there you go.
I have a big, huge plan, you know, of gaining a family. I don't want just to have somebody to give the dog to.
There you go. See, now you have your priorities straight.
There you go. Well, sort of. I don't know.
Hey. It made an odd sort of sense to me.
Didn't it? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that weird? Okay, so. And we're down to the 2-minute mark. The British lady's going to cut us off any second, right?
Not necessarily. Sometimes we can go past, but I'm running out of gas, and I got a puppy who probably doesn't want to decorate the indoors.
Yeah. Wow. At 11 o'clock? That's crazy timing for the doggy. But okay.
Yeah, he's still not. He's now going overnight. Like last night, he went probably 8 hours without.
There you go.
So, although he did wake me up at 2. Woke me up at 2 to tell me, I got to get outside right now.
And I never had a problem getting up and letting them out. It was like, okay, let's go. You know,
as I get
as long
older,
as I can find your slippers.
It's harder to get up.
Yeah.
He's a good boy, though.
I just could say in that case, I guess it's time to bring in the one, the only Mr. James Durant for the night.
James Durant. There we go. Good night, Dave.
Good night, Dave.
Good night,
Dale.
Good night, John Boy.
Put on your treasure,
Tom.
and it's time for Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Horrible up we the thing, and ink-a-dink-a-doo.
Ink-a-dink-a-doo.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Boxcar Willie.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Everyone in
good night.
Arma.
Arma.
Bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-b